Well, June is Pride Month, and we are recording this episode of Life Talks during the month of June. Pride Month is the phenomenon that our culture has decided to adopt, whereupon we celebrate all things gay during the month of this month of the year. It started years ago with Disney having gay days where there were two or three days.
Do you remember that?
I do. I lived in Florida then.
Summer of 96, I remember.
I almost accidentally went during one of those and when it was really controversial.
Yeah. I mean, that was like 25 years ago.
Oh, quit making me feel. Actually, it was longer than that.
I mean, but yeah. Remember how that was so
The Southern Baptists decided to
boycott it.
Yeah, over
yes.
That, which didn't go anywhere, but they did try to boycott it. But so in recent days, there's been a controversy where the Tampa Bay Devil Rays mm-hmm. had five players who declined to wear the uniform of the gay celebration.
They had a rainbow uniform.
They had a little logo they were supposed to wear. And they said they were very respectful. There was no over the top expression, but it's just simply we respectfully declined doing this because it violates our religious views mm-hmm, of sexuality. Mm-hmm. And of course, the firestorm emitted from that. So that's what we're going to talk about today on Life Talks. My name is Dan. I'm with Ben. We're the teaching pastors at Life Fellowship outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. And Ben, it seems like everywhere we're turning right now, there's a rainbow in your face.
Yeah.
And there is, I mean, you look at all the different major corporations mm-hmm. that are going over the top mm-hmm. to try to express solidarity, support, and pride.
Logos are a lot of logos. People's Twitter, So it's definitely changing. I just remember the first time I saw a rainbow flag hang outside of a church. I think it was like 2005, and I was in Boston. I was like, man, I cannot believe there's a rainbow flag.
They're everywhere, and during this month in the Northeast.
Yeah, now it's almost. It's really interesting to see how it's taken over. And I would just say in the last few years, it just feels like it is overwhelmingly in your face. You can't get around it. Mm-hmm. The companies are either bullied or forced into aligning themselves with the LGBTQ, social, agenda. And so, you know, as Christians, I think it's really interesting because the choices, we have a lot more choices. We have to, you know, we used to be able to just to be like, okay, that's happening over there in that mm-hmm. corner. But now it's happening.
Now we're in the corner.
Now we're in the corner. And it's happening all around us. And now, I mean, who would have thought these guys and these Tampa Bay Ray baseball players, most of them have been playing baseball for, since they were kids. I mean, most of these guys, I know these guys made decisions based on their faith in Jesus, their Christian faith. And I guarantee you, not one of them thought that they were going to someday have to make a decision mm-hmm. of whether or not to wear something rainbow in support of the LGBTQ movement. And I just think it's really interesting that now this is happening. And the reason I think having a conversation about this is most of the people that are working now in environments, whether it's major corporations or bigger companies, they have a lot more opportunities to say something or whether or not they're going to go along with it or not. I mean, someone who we know well works at Starbucks and, mm-hmm. I asked him, I was like, how's it going this month? Because, Starbucks is one of those corporations that is
very woke,
very out in your face, pro rainbow flag for rainbow everything. And, they went around, hey, what size do you want in the rainbow shirt, this month? And he just respectfully was like, I'm not going to wear it. And, I think you know why, because he mm-hmm. has a good reputation. And, everyone knows this guy. They all love him. They all respect him. But, he's just not going to go along with it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is what I'm sure there's some Christians out there that feel like the world is closing in on them and it's getting harder to make these kinds of decisions.
Well, and that's why I kind of want to ask some tough questions on this mm-hmm. because one of the things, how many players are on a baseball roster?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
30, 40?
I would say about that many. Yeah, maybe.
So my question is, why were there only five? Do you think there are more than five professing Christians, Catholics, Muslims, people of faith on that team?
Oh, I'm sure there were.
Yeah. So why only five decided to take the stand? And that's the question that I would like to pose to our readers. What would it take for you to take a similar stand about right and wrong? Yeah. Because to me, there comes a line that we have to have drawn around us that says, to participate with you denies he who lives within me.
Mm.
So, for instance, would it be if it would we find the values of Nazism abhorrent? Well, hopefully we would say yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
If somebody said you must wear a swastika, is that going to be a problem? And you would say, absolutely. Why? Because it offends my values. Mm-hmm. It represents something that I find abhorrent or destructive
or dangerous. Against the Bible.
Now, somebody out here is going to lift that clip that I just gave out and said, are you comparing the rainbow flag to a swastika? Mm-hmm. I'm doing this. I am saying this. When something violates your values and you're being asked, forced, required, demanded to leave your values behind and adopt the symbolism of that, that it crosses a fundamental line that we need to be cautiously and consciously thinking about.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail right on the head. This is an issue of identity. It's yes. Even values, absolutely. But this is an issue of identity. This is not about, well, I'm wearing this to support my friends who have this, you know, lifestyle. This is not about support. This is about identifying. And as Christians, there's one thing that should identify us, and that is Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's the ultimate thing that should identify us. Every other thing that identifies us, whether it's our gender, whether it's our nationality, whether it's our socioeconomic, that comes secondary to our identity in Jesus. And anything that tries to hop, skip, and jump above that is something that is saying, no, nothing defines me more than the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I think there's a danger because there's a type of evangelical mentality right now that is saying things like, well, Jesus would march in a gay rights parade because the argument would be made that Jesus would have eaten with homosexuals.
Absolutely. I would agree that with that 100%.
And I would say, yes, he would eat with homosexuals.
He would eat with them, but he would not march.
Because there's a difference between eating with someone privately or even in a public setting and endorsing a movement.
Yes.
And when you identify with the movement, there is a tacit endorsement that comes with it.
Correct.
So, you know, my response would be, no, Jesus would not march in a gay rights parade. Jesus would not wear the gay rights banner. Mm. Jesus would not... Would not, at the same time, would he love a homosexual? Absolutely. Would he have dinner with him? I believe he would.
Yes,
we have
absolutely.
Conversation.
Absolutely.
No question.
No doubt.
So, but what we need to be really careful of is don't buy into the flawed arguments or even false arguments to justify something because you don't want to be uncomfortable. Hmm. I think there needs to come a day of awakening in America for our believers to simply stand up and say, you know what? There are some things I will not violate because I am a Christian, and we've lost that. And even in Christian circles, the idea that we need to blend in, and yet the Scripture warns us, watch out for the salt that's lost its savor. Watch out for the person who hides their candle
that's
underneath
right.
a basket.
Yes.
At what point are you willing to say, I won't violate this? We had this conversation a couple years ago, on this, where we asked a couple of questions like, would you go to a gay wedding?
And oh, yeah, we debated that, yeah.
And that may be a good episode for you to go back and listen to sometime because, we covered both sides of the argument. One of the arguments I gave at that time is, would you sit with someone and hold their hand while they're having an abortion? Hmm. You know, and there are some lines that I think we need to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't do that for someone who's committing a murder.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that taking the life of a preborn child is tantamount to murder.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a difference. What there's a false belief today that says, if you love me, you must support everything I do.
Not even support. It is now raised to level of celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. If you love me, you will support and celebrate everything I do. And if you don't support and celebrate everything I do, then you hate me. That is a wrong idea, because if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. If I love you, I want what's best for you. And if that's true, then there are times when out of love, you have to rebuke. Mm-hmm. Out of love, you have to say things that are hard. Out of love, you have to confront. Out of love, you have to do the things that are hard. You know, God is God as our perfect example. Jesus as the embodiment of of God's love. Man, there were some hard things he would say to the people he loved. There were some rebukes. I mean, I was just reading in my personal devotional time, the time when, you know, he tells his disciples, "Hey, I'm going to be handed over to the chief priests, and I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be killed and crucified." And Peter is like, "Hey, quit that talk. You know, we don't want any of that dying talk around here." And it says that Jesus rebuked him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, did Jesus love Peter when he said that?
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. Yes, of course he loved Peter. Even when Peter denied Jesus, Jesus didn't ignore what Peter did. He went to them, confronted him, rebuked him, but was always looking to reconcile him. So this idea that you have to, in order to love someone, you have to support and celebrate their sin, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Do not believe that. That is something that is leading so many Christians and so many, you know, church-going evangelicals down a road that is completely false and wrong. And you have to awaken yourself to that reality and say, it is okay for me to look at my child or to look at my neighbor or to look at my friend or my coworker and say, "Man, I really love you. I can't celebrate what you're doing." Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that I don't love you. It doesn't mean I don't want what's best for you. But if I'm going to have the convictions that God tells me to have, I can't go along with that.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons why we tend to go silent in the opportunities to take a stand is because we've not prepared ourselves for the arguments or prepared ourselves for the stand itself. Mm-hmm. And I think now's a good time to be thinking about that, because I think the opportunities for us to take stands are coming rapidly, and we're going to need to do that, or we're going to be basically, you know, powerless, neutered, when we will have done that to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times people want to say, well, Jesus never addressed the issue of homosexuality at all in his in his direct teaching. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that would be yes, but he didn't address a lot of other issues. He didn't condemn slavery. He didn't condemn wife beating. But I think we do know that it consistent with the character of Christ.
Child molestation.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things he didn't say specifically.
Yeah.
But what I would say is when he uses the word porneia, which is what translates sexual morality, everyone in that context would have believed that porneia included, that was an umbrella term to include homosexuality.
Yeah.
That's how I would say when people say, "Well, he never mentioned that." Yeah, well, he also didn't mention anything. But knowing what porneia meant in that context in those days, you have to understand it included all kinds of sexual immoral behavior, including homosexuality.
Yeah, and the fact that sometimes people who call themselves Christians sin in those other areas does not negate the standard that God set up for those.
That's right.
You know, because I have people say to me, "Well, you don't protest when people get divorced." Well, first of all, yeah, I think we do. We've actually done church discipline on
But people also don't wave divorce flags.
That's true.
People don't celebrate.
Yeah. I would say it would be wrong to go, and I've seen, you know, odd people that will have like a party, you know, and usually go out and get drunk.
Yeah.
I wouldn't participate in that either, because I don't think it's something worth celebrating.
Yeah.
But again, don't become silent in the face of the onslaught of arguments. At the same time, it's not your responsibility to change anybody's mind. It is only your responsibility to do the right thing. You know, you don't have to defend God's word. God's word will defend itself. And so we simply say, "This is what I believe. This is what God's word said. And this is why I'm acting in this way." Yeah. "Well, I just don't agree with that." Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
You're free to do your life, and I'm free to do my life. Mm-hmm. But you, any more than I could force you, please don't force me.
Yeah.
So use kindness and logic, but don't make it personal.
Yeah, I think that's huge. The other thing I would say is make sure that you are known as a person of love before this event comes up. I mean, if you're the biggest jerk in the office and you're like, "Wow, that's stupid, you know, gay thing." Listen, you're not doing yourself any favors.
Yeah, I don't think we can underemphasize that. What you just said is so important. Watch out. And you, in our last episode, you're talking about the cliches. And you know, we
check your heart.
We tend to go after these. "God created him in Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve."
Yeah. Oh, please do not.
Yeah. Be really careful. There's a viral, and this drives me crazy, because this one little segment of Christianity. There's about a dozen pastors that are all out of the same mold. They all get together. Mm-hmm. They call themselves Baptists. They ruin the Baptist brand. But this guy got up and he said, you should take all the homosexuals out and shoot them in the head.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's that, and it's that, horrible.
And he's got 20, he's got 20 rednecks in his audience, and they're all hooping and hollering. And
that's what they that post up and say, that's who's, who's
this
against.
This represents all of Christianity. Yes, yeah. And again, it's really, don't let your good be evil spoken of, is what Scripture mm-hmm. said. So we need to be wise, and I would distance myself from that. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. God is the judge, not us. But don't let that, again, because you don't want to be identified with that, don't allow yourself to be implicitly then move the opposite direction where you're identifying.
Yeah. I mean, you would never go to a homosexual and be like, you know, I'm going to project that every homosexual is like Jeffrey Dahmer. No one would do that.
No.
So don't do that. Don't do that for me. I think so. I think that's really important. The other thing I think is really important is you have to be willing to understand. You have to count the cost. I mean, Jesus talked about it, count the cost to what it means to follow him. That sometimes there is a cost, and that cost is going to be. You have to know what decision you're going to make before that opportunity comes. You have to make the decision to say, listen, I cannot, if I'm forced to wear a pin, put something in my cubicle, donate to, like, I'm just going to have to draw a line. And whatever consequences come, like these players, I'm sure understood, this is not.
They're never going to get a national endorsement with Nike.
They will never get an endorsement. They will never get that. They'll never. They lost out on a lot of money, I am sure, right? But they made the decision, and they chose to say, I'm willing to live with the negative publicity and the consequences. Now, these are very public figures because they're professional athletes. But, man, I just have so much respect for these men, because what they were saying is there's certain things that are more valuable than money.
Yeah.
And it's my character. It's my conscience. There's a There's a movie, I wish I would remember the name of this movie, but it came out a couple years ago. It came out 2 years ago, and it was about this man in Austria. I think it was Malik Jackson who did this movie, but it was about this Austrian farmer who just refused to fight for the Nazis. Hmm. And it's a slow movie, okay? That he's put in this position where he has to make a decision whether he's going to fight for the Nazis or not. And he just keeps pushing it off. And finally, every war age man goes to the base to train, and he just puts the gun, like, I'm not going to do it. And they put him in prison. They risk him, you know, they threaten him. They do all these things. And this last conversation, this moment in the movie, he's sitting across the table from this high ranking general. And this general's like, you know, if you continue with this on, here's the consequences of these decisions. You know, you could lose this, you could lose that. And he was just kind of like, I can't do this. I can't violate my conscience. And, it, you know, it's the last moment he's trying to warn him. If you don't fight for the Nazis, you're going to lose everything. And he's like, I'm willing to do it because I can't violate my conscience. Anyways, the guy, the farmer leaves, and there's this moment in the movie where the general slowly moves around and sits in the chair of that man. And you just tell it has this moment of, I wish I had the courage of what this guy just did. Mm. And I think that's what all of us at some point in the next few decades are going to have to make our decisions.
Yep.
Because this train is not slowing down anytime soon.
So let me ask you this question then. What would you say? How would you counsel someone who said, look, I work for a major corporation, and I've been told I have to march in a gay parade, or I have to attend a mandatory pride event, and we all have to wear a rainbow hat. Or what would you say to the believer put in that position? How should their posture be?
Well, I would first have a long conversation with my spouse to say, hey, I'm going to have to make a tough decision. Pray for me. I would get counsel and prayer from a lot of believers, Christians, who I knew and respected. But dealing with that in the realm of the. Every organization has their own protocols. I would have a preliminary conversation with HR and just say, listen, I cannot violate my religious convictions. And I know that you're here to help me not violate certain things. And so I'm just letting you know, if there's things that come down the road that violate my religious convictions, I'm not going along with it. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not going to, you know, be angry. I'm not going to be obnoxious. I'm just letting you know, I'm not going along with it. And, you know, it's very similar to what Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. If you think about it, they didn't make this big scene. They didn't like protest. They didn't fight. They didn't get angry. They simply said, we're not bowing down. You can do to us what you want to. We're not bowing down. Daniel, you know, when they made the decree that you can only pray to the king, he didn't go with that decree into the king's, how dare you do this? Right. You know, he didn't fight. He didn't get angry. He just went into his, he just kept doing what he was doing. He went home. He opened the window. He prayed.
Yep.
That's all he did. He just kept living a righteous life. And so I would just say, stay committed to that. There may be consequences that happen that you might have to endure, but it will be worth it. It's going to be worth it, because the one thing you will have is your name and your conscience, and you will have the honor of God more than the honor of men. And that is worth way more. And so yes, there are tough decisions. The other thing I might say is, you might want to think about working for a less big corporation, because you know, the smaller businesses, they just have a lot. They're not going to be big into these kinds of things. Yeah. And I think that's probably a choice that a lot of Christians are going to have to make.
Yeah. Don't be a slave to corporate think. Don't be a slave to the culture. Don't be a slave to something that runs counter to your beliefs. There is freedom and there is independence in being able to follow your conscience. Most importantly, of following God.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Well, thanks for this good conversation. As always, folks, we appreciate you listening to Life Talks. We hope you'll share us with your friends and neighbors on social media and any other way you can. And until next time, thanks for joining us.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.